Now we go to the catbird seat in Washington, D.C. Ken Timmerman is perched there. Ken, so much to talk about. Let me start with the battle that's going on in Mosul there in northern Iraq. We've talked about it almost weekly to try to keep people updated. I understand in the last week about 180,000 civilians have been able to flee out of that area. And the Iraqi troops, the soldiers involved with the coalition, some from Iran, some from the Kurds, trying to liberate Mosul. But there's still about, I understand, about 400,000 civilians that are there, surrounded by the armies trying to liberate them, but at the same time infiltrating with Islamic State, who are using these people as human shields. This thing's not finished. It's not a quick issue, is it?
It's not, Jimmy. It's a very brutal, very bloody battle. We're hearing anecdotal stories about civilians being used as human shields by ISIS fighters. There's several thousand of them still holed up in the old city of Mosul, in western Mosul, to the west of the Tigris River there. And, you know, they're lucky to have been able to flee, these 180,000 people you mentioned. In the earlier battles, it was harder for them to get out because ISIS had a tighter control. But this time they are succeeding to flee across the lines. It's creating a humanitarian crisis for the Iraqi government and the Kurdish authorities. They don't have enough refugee camps set up for them. Luckily, we're now at the end of March, so the weather is getting better. You're getting into springtime in the Nineveh Plain and in northern Iraq. So the harsh, cold weather of winter is over. They do not risk freezing to death, thank God. But now they have to get food. The authorities have to find food for these people and shelter.
Let me, before we get out of the Middle East, and of course we'll continue to talk about Mosul, that humanitarian crisis that's taking place there. What about Iran? They have moved not only into Iraq, they're in Syria, a major player, along with Russia and Bashar Assad's military, to try to get rid of the opposition trying to overthrow Bashar Assad. But Iran has manipulated itself into just north of Israel, there in the Golan Heights, north of the border in Syria itself. And they're saying they want to liberate the Golan Heights. I mean, this could really break into a full all-out Middle Eastern war, could it not?
Well, the Iranians need to be cautious, and I tend to think they will be. They have been warned several times by Israel of getting too close to the Golan Heights, which, as most of our listeners, I'm sure, are aware, is divided up on the heights between Syria and Israel. And the Israelis occupy a portion of it and have annexed a portion of the heights. So Syria or Arab countries are not able to put artillery up there and bombard the Galilee down below. The Israelis have already hit Hezbollah fighters and killed an Iranian Revolutionary Guards general up on the Golan Heights after they had surveillance information showing that they were transferring weapons, that the Iranians were transferring weapons to Hezbollah that would perhaps go to other fighters either inside Israel or in southern Lebanon. So the Israelis clearly have their eye on the Golan Heights. They're not going to allow the Iranians to get close. And should the Iranian regime actually move forward with this so-called Golan Liberation Brigade, my guess, Jimmy, is that they will get whacked pretty hard by the Israel Defense Forces.
Well, we've been in the Middle East with Ken Timmerman. Almost sounds like a Middle East news update. But let's get to some of the other hot spots around the world. And this is an interesting development. Military cooperation between Russia and China has hit a three-decade high. I mean, for 30 years, they've been cooperating, but now it's at the high.
Jimmy, this is a very, very serious development, a very important story, something you and I have been following for some time. This report that just came out this week from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, which was established in the final years of the Clinton administration, in part because of reporting work that I was doing at the time and others, looking at the sell-off of U.S. military technology to communist China. This commission has been tracking the modernization of the People's Liberation Army and their access to advanced weapons technology ever since that time. And they issue these periodic reports. This recent one is, I don't want to say it's alarming, but it's something that absolutely deserves attention. It's not getting much press. In fact, it's not getting any press here in the United States, really, to speak of. And what they've pointed out is that the Russians now have been delivering Su-35 strike fighters to China. This is the most advanced Russian fighter. It is more advanced than our current generation F-18s or F-15s. It's on a par, really, it's a fifth-generation fighter. They've been delivering these to China since December 2015. They're going to deliver hundreds of these. They've also been delivering S-400 surface-to-air missile systems, which can shoot down ballistic missiles and shoot down aircraft, which could sanctuarize communist China, the mainland, and their islands in the South China Sea from any U.S. retaliatory strike. So China is now becoming a first-world military power, not a third world army, but a first world military power. And that is the real significance of this development.
Well, if you put the two together, China and Russia, wow, what a military might that would be. We'll follow that story absolutely for sure. The situation in London with the terrorist attack there, that's just simply evidence of how terrorism is getting out of the Middle East into mainstream, both the European continent and upcoming to the United States, I would believe. Is that part of the reason United States and the United Kingdom actually banned cabin laptops on some of the inbound flights from out of the Middle East?
Well, we don't know, and I suspect it's not directly related, because obviously the terrorist attack was on the ground, and this involves international air travel. The U.S. government, the Homeland Security Department, announced that this was a result of active intelligence, new intelligence on operations either underway or being planned by ISIS and other terrorist groups, Islamist terrorist groups in the Middle East. It involves 8 airports in Egypt, Jordan, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey, and they are banning electronic devices on the planes. The one precedent that we know of that may have triggered this, Jimmy, actually took place a year ago when a Somali terrorist blew himself out of an airplane just after takeoff in Mogadishu using what appears to have been a laptop packed with explosives, transferred to him after airport security in the Mogadishu airport by an airport worker. And that seems to be the type of thing that the U.S. and the U.K. are worried about. In other words, not that they can't detect explosives in a laptop going through security, but that some airport worker with clearance could transfer a laptop to a passenger as they are getting onto an airplane. That is a very new threat.
Well, and indeed a threat that's going to cause some inconvenience for those of us who are not terrorists as we travel all across the countryside. Talk to me about Vladimir Putin. What an interesting meeting he had with Francis Le Pen, who's a candidate for the presidency of France. He may not be using hacking to get into and try to influence that particular election, but he's using a personal appearance and a relationship and a meeting with the candidate.
Well, that's right, and a lot of people are worried about this. Marine Le Pen, as her father, has long had close relationships to Russia. The Russians have been favoring the National Front in France, and they claim to have a confluence of interests because of Judeo-Christian values. I tend to doubt that. I don't think the Russian Orthodox Church has never necessarily become a paragon of humanitarian values,
right,
either in Russia itself or around the world. But let's set that aside. The National Front in France has taken out a major loan from a Russian bank tied to the Kremlin. When asked about this, Marine Le Pen said, well, we did that because nobody else would give us the loan in France for political reasons. And it's just a loan. It's a commercial loan. Be that as it may, there are clear ties. These are open ties between Marine Le Pen and the Russian leadership, very different from the situation in the United States, where the allegations that Donald Trump had ties to Russia have turned out to be so much smoke with no fire.
I want to always remind everybody, God has used human government in the past. He presently is doing that and will in the future as well. That's what we're reporting all of this about. Ken, thank you so very much for getting on top of all of these geopolitical activities, giving us insight into why they are happening. It's so very important for each and every one of our listeners. Thank you. We'll have another conversation next week.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. God bless.